Amen. Aren't you thankful we are not alone tonight? He will never leave us, never forsake us. Therefore, we have nothing to fear in this life. Amen. Amen. You know, no matter what you go through, no matter what the seasons of life you may face, you have to understand that God is behind you and with you the whole time. And in all of our lives, we're going to go through different seasons that are challenging, that is sometimes darker than other seasons. And like we said this weekend, you know, oftentimes when the enemy attacks, he does so in waves. It's never just one thing. It's always a multitude of things. But I tell you what, your faith can rest in God's faithfulness. And that's what enables us to have an abundance of faith, is knowing that God has been faithful. And I know that in your past, you have seen God just come through and strengthen you, comfort you, forgive you, be merciful to you, be patient with you, be exceedingly kind and gracious to you. That with that, you have seen His faithfulness. And out of that, the goal of His faithfulness is to not only manifest His goodness, but also to prove to you that when you put your faith in Him, He will always see you through. Amen? So you don't have to have a worry. You don't have to have a care. You can always know God will be right there taking care of you. Amen? Amen. You can be seated this evening, and we'll get back into worship here. I say a couple of minutes. You never know, though. The goal is always a couple of minutes, especially on a night of worship. We have some things I want to communicate to you that are on my heart that, you know, it's kind of a change that we're looking to make in the church, and it's something that I wanted to communicate to everyone and to get all of you guys on the same page as to why we're looking at making the change. You should be getting a letter either tomorrow or Friday, probably at the latest on Saturday. That kind of has these things in writing too, so you can be praying over them, about them with us. And then also, we know that the bulk of our church family is not here tonight, and so we wanted to make sure all of our church family could not only have an opportunity to hear it, but to read it and to kind of glean from what we are doing so that they can understand the decision we're making properly. We have a calling on our church to make a difference in the world. I honestly believe that. I believe, you know, I've said this before, but it bears repeating, that we have a ministry similar to the ministry of John the Baptist, that we are to go ahead of other ministries and to make their way easier and to make their way more efficient, to prepare a way for them to do what God has called them to do on the earth. And just like John the Baptist, preparing the way for Jesus' ministry went and exceeded John's ministry and went to grow beyond John's ministry. But it was because Jesus' ministry received help not only from John, but from a whole bunch of other people who made Jesus' ministry their ministry. And so us as a church family, when we think about having church here at Word of Life, we think about ministering to all of you, and we think about ministering to the community. We have a downtown outreach. We're looking to expand that. We have things that we do in the community. We're looking to expand that. We have services. We're looking to expand that by building a new facility as far as impacting the people we reach in this community. But our goal is to leverage the strength that we have here, and to provide that strength and give that strength to other ministries. And some of that will be us partnering up with missionaries all over the face of the earth and helping them run the race God has called for them to run. And others of that, I think especially 10, 20 years from now, and some of this will happen, I'm sure, now, and some of it's already happened. But I think especially 10 to 20 years from now, it will be us sending people out of this church. That ministers are trained up and raised up in this place and then are sent out to go run the race God has called them to run. But it's not just sent out with a pat on the back. It's sent out with resources, whether it's organizational resources or even financial resources. for them to get a head start in ministry, where it doesn't take them, you know, 5-10 years to make any kind of headway and build a base, but they start out with a good push behind them. And so that requires much of us as a church, and that requires much of the church staff, that requires much of me, and it demands that we put an emphasis on growing and being a healthy, vibrant, growing church. And it's important to realize that every church has a different calling. Not every church is called to be 3,000 plus. Currently, our weekend attendance is about 3,000 people every single weekend. That's kind of our floor now. If we don't hit that, we're disappointed and trying to figure out, was it raining? Was the fair in town? Were people hunting? Or, you know, was there homecoming? Or did Ole Miss lose? Or, you know, what happened? With that, that's a certain level of size that a lot of churches will never get to. And that's okay, because not every church is called to do that. Not every church is called to be in the thousands. And we see growing even beyond where we're at now. But some churches, like I heard Brother Hagin talk about this years ago, there was a church he loved going to in Minnesota that was around 300 people. And that church always ran about 300 people, and they would always be telling them, hey, you need to grow, you know, you need to expand your facility, you need to build a new building, you need to grow. And they said, no, that's not the purpose of this church. The purpose of this church is to create a room for inspired utterance. That was the purpose of that church, was to just have a room for inspired utterance and have it filled with mature believers, and with that bring in ministers like Brother Hagin, who when they stepped into that room, stepped into something that enabled them to be efficient in the office God had called them to give them a head start with that. And so while we're definitely believing for inspired utterance and things like that, I said that story to say this. Every church has a different calling. Every church has a different bent. Every minister has a different bent. And it's so unfortunate that in the body of Christ, we try to make Joel Osteen something like more like someone else, or Benny Hinn more like someone else, or Billy Graham more like someone else, or Brother Hagin more like someone else. Instead of seeing that that's what makes the body of Christ so beautiful, is we all have strengths that God has called us to. And with that, when we're all working together like Jesus prayed, we can all make tremendous progress. And so every church, every ministry is going to have a different bent to it. It's going to have different strengths to it. And with that, if you compared our church's strength to another church's strength, people would say, well, that church is weaker. No, it's just they have a different strength. If you compared their strength to our church, you could see, well, we're weaker in that area than maybe this church. And that's why comparison is such a sin. That's why comparison ends in sin. Is with that, it's impossible to get into that without getting over into envy and judgment and all of those types of things, which should be foreign to us as believers. So anyway, I said all that to say, we are called to be a growing church, to be a church that has enough strength to it to really bear some burdens in the earth and to do some neat, neat things. And we're already doing that to a large degree, and we're already doing that even beyond some of the things I initially saw us doing. An example would be is every week I get things like this from missionaries all over the world that are asking our church to help support what they're doing. This one, he's looking to put on a conference in some J place in Nepal. I'm not even going to try to go there. Basically, there's 1 million people living in this city, and there's only 1,000 Christians there, roughly about 1,000 Christians there. So what this ministry does is they go in, and I've met this guy, and we've given him over $50,000. We've given this ministry over $50,000 to help do things like this. But what they do is they go into these cities, and they meet the Christians who are there, try to identify people who may have a call on their life to be in the fivefold ministry. And they work with them for over 3 months to get them trained, equipped, labored in the word, networked with them, try to find even other pastors who they can bring in from other regions that maybe are more church to maybe plant a church in these types of cities. And for 3 months, they build up these types of churches and build up these types of works. Once they have that, if it takes more than that time, more than 3 months, they'll stay there as long as it takes to get those kind of things going. But then after that, they'll put on a big crusade. And their job there in the crusade is to preach Jesus the healer, win a whole bunch of people to the Lord that way by showing them the power of Jesus. You know, when you're talking to people who have never heard about Jesus before, you better not only just tell them about him, you better show them something, or else they're not going to believe in it. And so they start with that message, Jesus the healer, and they see miracles and signs and wonders, and then they followed up with Jesus wants to save you. He's the way to heaven and the way to life on this earth and life in the next. And with that, hold these big crusades. But the goal of the whole crusade is to get people born again and then to get them over into these churches. Then they stay there for another 3 months to work with those churches to make sure they follow up well with all the people who are born again, to make sure that they're getting discipled, the churches are growing in strength, and then they just help the churches facilitate church growth and Christianity in those communities. Very neat ministry. They have a budget for this, for these months and crusade of $26,000 to do that. The crusade is November 23rd through the 27th, and so far $3,500 has come in. Now, this is just one. There are literally, tens of these that will come across my desk on any given month. And with each passing month, more and more come that are legitimate like this. And these are the projects that now have my heart. The Lord has really been dealing with me about doing projects with our big gives that have immediate effects in winning people to the Lord. There's lots of things you can give to, and we've given to a lot of those things. But it's projects like this that I feel are just crucial in this hour to try to win people to Jesus, that every dollar just make it about winning people to Jesus. And so the more I pray about it, the more I feel peace about going ahead and just paying for this whole thing and just letting them go and do this crusade without having to think about raising any type of money while they're there. Just take away all that pressure and just say, hey, go win people to Jesus, train up those pastors, and while we're at it, let's build some churches and those types of things. So amen. So we're looking to do things like this. But my point is this is why we want to continue to grow. It's honestly not about me, and it's not about name recognition. Honestly, all of that kind of stuff just disturbs me to no end. I have no desire for celebrity status. I have no desire for Joel Sims Ministries, and wherever the Lord takes my life in that degree, that's fine. I'll leave it up to His will and to His call and whatever He wants for us. But this is about this. This is why we want to continue to grow. This is why we need more people. This is why the new facility matters. This is why all this stuff matters, is because at the end of the day, it's all about winning people to Jesus. That's it. Every miracle, every sign, every wonder, every service, every teaching, every small group, everything is about winning people to Jesus. And I think as we progress in these end times, those kinds of things become more and more important. So with that, I have felt that in my heart for years now. And it's past me growing a church for our own natural gain. I'll be honest, when I first started in ministry, I wanted to prove to myself I could do it. I doubted myself for so long that it was, okay, I want to prove to myself we can do it. But now, you know, I'm 32 years old, and the more pastors we talk to, what they would do to be able to have this, and what they would do to be able to preach in front of people like you and to have people like you come to their church, it's humbling beyond words. I could sit here and just bawl in front of you and thank God for entrusting you into our care and to bringing you into this place. But I have a desire in my heart to take it even further and to grow it. And to every year we talk about how to do that. And for the last 5 years, we've placed an emphasis on it for that reason, is we need to grow because we need to help these people. It's not right that this conference is about to start on November 23rd and less than 10% of the budget has come in for it. That's not okay to me. That's just not okay to me. And I'm not satisfied with that. And I know that we are called to help these people. And I know we're also called to be good enough as a church so that when other churches come to us and ask, what in the world are you doing? We tell them this. This is why God is blessing us. This is why God is increasing us. It's because at the end of the day, it's all about winning people to Jesus. And with that, I think if more and more churches could understand that it's not about numbers for the sake of numbers, but it's about numbers because every person matters to Jesus. And if we can leverage our strength, we can do some significant things in the earth. So with that, I said all that to say this. Every year for the last 5 years, we've especially looked at how to do that more efficiently, how to continue with the core values God is giving us, preaching the word, preaching the message of faith, preaching the message of healing, making the ministry of the Holy Spirit easy enough for people to understand, where it's not weird, flaky, or spooky to them, but winning people to the Lord, but then also getting them to take their next step and being filled with the Holy Spirit and all of those types of things. And we want to get better at all those things as well. But with that, we desire to keep that up and to keep growing. And so over the last, once again, 5 years, we've added a whole bunch of stuff. I mean, I look at all the stuff we've added, from going from one service on the weekends to three on Sunday and then another one on Saturday, to things like 21 days of prayer, to missions trips, to a downtown outreach, to small groups, to seeing those small groups grow to where now we've got over 1,000 people enrolled in our life group program, and all of these types of things we've just added to the ministry, and new ways to give and all of these different ways, things that we've added over these years. And it's come to the place where, honestly, for us as a staff and for me as a pastor about 2 years ago, I felt like I was just getting tired. And I made mention of that. I took a vacation, and that's when the Lord really dealt with me about the purpose of the church and building a strong church so that we could send that strength out to Joshua's who were out in the field. And if you've been to the church for any length of time, you've heard me tell that story. And with that was kind of the start of it, is I felt it, especially when we added our Saturday service. And at that same time, my family welcomed in a newborn at the same time we were launching that. And it just has seemed like every year, the more we seek to grow, the less and less time we have, because all of the new things that we've added require more work. Saturday has turned into a work day. Sunday is obviously a work day, and then you have Monday through Friday that things come up, and especially as a pastor of the church, you can try to dictate your schedule as much as possible, but you can't control people in the hospital and babies being born and weddings and all of those types of things. I came to my staff and a couple of key leaders in it about 2 years ago and said, I don't know if you guys are feeling this, but I am definitely feeling it. I'm feeling like I can't catch my breath. That as soon as a service ends, I'm thinking about the next service. And as soon as one program ends, we've got another program coming up. And those types of things. And I heard from them that it wasn't just me feeling that way, but all of them were feeling that way. And so I asked him, I said, do some research. You know, let's go out there and let's study churches that are doing what we like to do, but are 1 to 2 levels above us, churches that we glean from. And there are different churches that we as a church glean from. There are very few we glean anything spiritually from. A lot of the things that we glean from some churches are organizational things. Some are creative things. There are some churches that have a strength of praise and worship. We glean from them praise and worship, but we don't want to run our finances the way they run theirs, or those types of things. So every department kind of has those pace setters, and I told them, hey, go to your pace setters. I'll start looking at mine and finding out how they do it, because they're doing exactly what we're doing. They're doing multiple services. They're doing life groups. They're doing all these types of things. Go and find out what they're doing. And we came back and we all said, okay, here's what we're hearing them say. Here's what we see. And the thing that they all came back with, and the thing that I saw from mine too, is that none of our pace setters, ministries that were 1 to 2 levels above us, were offering a midweek service. And we all came back with that, and we noticed that 8 out of 11 of our pace setters were either doing no midweek service or a first Wednesday format only, meaning like what we're doing tonight, first Wednesday filled with worship and just a time of impartation. Immediately when they said that and when I saw that, I thought, you know, that it makes all the sense in the world from a natural perspective. Because honestly, out of all the services we do as a church staff, and especially for our core volunteers, those back in preschool and nursery, this is the hardest service to do because it's on top of a work day and it's on top of just all the other kind of stuff that happens at night with kids in school and homework and all of those types of things compounding. It's the toughest service to get people to. It's the toughest service to get volunteers to. It's the toughest service to put on. For me, it's the toughest service to study for because I don't have time to study for it. A lot of times it's, you know, cutting in from Wednesday about 10 o'clock on afterwards. I'll just kind of dedicate that time to wait on the Lord and kind of see what He would have me say, those types of things. For us, it was it's always been historically, especially over the last 5 years, the toughest service for us to put on. So with that, we came and we talked about it and we gave suggestions in that line. But I told them, look, you know, I don't care who's doing it. I don't care who's not doing it. I'm going to hear from God on this. And I told him, look, give me some time to pray about it, and I'll come back to you guys and let you guys know where I'm at in the process of this and talking about it and praying about it. And so I did. And I prayed for it for a week. I'd fast and pray for it and those types of things. And then I'd go a month and pray for it and get nothing. A week and a month turned into 2 years where I was still praying about it. And I just could not get a release to cut it. I just could not get an unction to cut it. And really, at my core, I didn't want to cut it. Because as much work as this service is, when I'm finally done with it, oftentimes it's the service I enjoy the most. When I walk away from it, it's like Smith Wigglesworth said, I'd rather the anointing of God on my life for 5 minutes than the whole world with a white picket fence around it. And it's the truth. You cannot manufacture that feeling. A lot of times I'll go home after Wednesday and can't sleep for 2 hours until I finally just have all of that kind of fall off me. And then I can fall asleep and then wake up Thursday morning and start studying for the next service that's coming up. But with that, I just could not walk away from it. But this summer, as summer progressed, I felt once again just an overwhelming sense of being tired. And I made up my mind years ago that I would not sacrifice things that the Lord had not called me to sacrifice. And I started looking at things, my kids growing up in front of me. I started looking at all these different things that have just been prevalent in my life and looking to grow all of these things. I'm looking to grow in my relationship with my kids. I'm looking to grow this church. We're looking to grow small groups. We're looking to grow our missions trips. We're looking to grow how much we give to other ministries. We're looking to grow our facilities. We're looking to grow all these things. And in the middle of trying to grow all of those things, as well as trying to grow mentally, trying to grow physically, trying to make as many changes as possible, I just noticed I'm not as healthy as I need to be. And immediately I started talking to the Lord about that and just saying, you know, God, I need a solution here because we're looking to produce more fruit in all of these areas, and I just don't know how to do that. I don't know how to make prayer more effective, small groups more effective, our services more effective, myself physically more effective, my family more effective, and all of these types of things. I don't know how to make all of these things effective and not have things start falling apart because I can't give myself more hours in a day. That's one thing I don't have, or more days in a week, or more weeks in a month, or more months in a year. That's one thing I can't do anything else about. And the more I talked to the Lord kind of about those things, He dealt with me about John chapter 15. And in John chapter 15, Jesus is talking about producing fruit, and that in all of our lives there ought to be fruit that is produced. I believe this with every fiber of my being, that you judge a tree by its fruit, and part of that fruit ought to be increase. It's a spiritual fact, friend, that if something is not increasing, it is decreasing. If something is not growing, it is dying. There is no neutral. There is no middle ground, spiritually speaking. And the kingdom of God and God's kingdom is always looking to advance. It's always looking to take territory. And whenever the children of Israel got in trouble, it's because they stopped doing that. They stopped taking the territory that God told them to take, because God has called us to win this world for Him. One way or another, it's always been God's goal, is to literally take over the world. And so with that, I just had a lot of talks with the Lord about that. And John chapter 15, He talks about producing more fruit. But in John chapter 15, in this principle of producing more fruit, He said occasionally the Father will come and He'll prune something away so that other things can produce more fruit, so it grows back stronger and more fruit can be produced. And the Lord dealt with me that in my life, and even how I treat the staff, it's always, we need to produce more. We need to produce more. We need to produce more. Let's add new ministries. Let's add all these new things. Let's add all of these services. Let's add these prayer programs. Let's add life groups. Let's add all of these things. Let's add new ways to give. Let's add missionaries we support. Let's add a new building while we're at it. Let's keep adding all of these things. But in the process of adding, the Lord dealt with me, we haven't taken anything away. That there, basically, we're trying to produce all of these things without looking at it and saying, what can we do so that these things keep producing more and more fruit for the kingdom of God? And so I really started talking to the Lord about that. You know, what can we do to make changes? And He really dealt with me that there were some things we were doing as a church, that the only reason why we were doing them was because we saw other ministries doing them. And while that's well and good for those other ministries, that's not necessarily something we have to do as a church. Once again, it's wrong as a church to think that you have to have the strengths of every other church in order for your church to be strong. It'd be like you looking at a person and saying, well, you know, I want my strengths, but I also want their face, and I want this other person's basketball skill, and I want this other person's cooking skill, and I want all those types of things. And it's like, well, no, that's not how it works. We all are different, and we all have different strengths. And so for us, I started looking at some of those things, and the Lord really dealt with me about that, that there were some things that we were doing that we didn't necessarily have to do. And many of those things you wouldn't notice if we took them away tomorrow. It's just little organizational things and whatnot. But then the Lord really dealt with me once again about midweeks. And this time, it wasn't me bringing it to the Lord. I had already resigned in my mind that, hey, we're going to keep this. And I thought for me and for my workload, if I get tired with that, then I can just bring in a missionary, or we can have a praise and worship service or something like that, so that I don't have to be as tired or to have something else to think about. But then the Lord really dealt with me, well, that takes care of you, but what about all the people recruiting dream teamers and all the people back there, you know, on staff who they can't get someone to fill in for them and those types of things. And so with that, I really started praying about it, and the Lord dealt with me about, what is your hesitancy in this area? What is the thing that you're hesitant about? And I came to Him with several different reasons. I made several different reasons as, this is why I'm hesitant about it. Number one was, that's the way we've always done it, which is always a bad excuse to keep anything, is it's because we've always done it this way. But the main thing that was on my list, and there were several things, was church health. And I told the Lord, this service is not about church growth. And we know that because over the last 5 years, every single year, our weekend attendance has grown at like 24%. But this service, if you took all 5 years together, has grown at like 0.3%. It's the same size that it's as it's been. Our youth group, our youth ministry is about the same size as it's been. I mean, we're not having to add another midweek service. And with society going the way it's going, I don't see necessarily the need to, that any church would ever have that type of issue, unless it was like a revival breaking out, and that which, in which case, you'd meet all the time. But with that, I told the Lord, I know and I understand completely that this service is not about church growth. It's never been the intent to try to add more people to these services. I said, it's about church health. It's a time for us to go into deeper things. It's a time for us to open up the Word in a deeper way. We have more time. There's not a service that's coming immediately after that. And even while we try to make it a true hour of power with school in session and those types of things, if it goes over, it goes over, and we're okay with that. So I said, with that, that's the reason. That's the reason I'm doing this, is church health. And that's my hesitancy in making any kind of adjustment in that area, is I will never lay down church health for church growth. It's just not going to happen. I'm not interested in doing that. I think you can do both and be effective at it. And so I told the Lord, that's the reason. And so the Lord started dealing with me about something in this area that He had been dealing with me really for several years about, and it's this. What makes a church healthy? What truly is the mark for church health? And the more I've thought about this, and like I said, this wasn't even necessarily the origin of this thought when the Lord dealing with me about this. I've been thinking about this for years, that especially for the South and even the charismatic circles, church health has been about church attendance. Let's see how much we can come to church and have an experience in church. And so with that, we'll have special meetings and we'll have multiple services and those types of things to get people in church. And a lot of people, whether they would admit it or not, believe that church health, if I'm a healthy Christian, if a church is healthy, it's marked by church attendance. That I made church and we went to church and had this dynamic experience in worship. Or even if it wasn't a dynamic experience in worship, I made Sunday school and I got my star to stick on my deal. I went to church, and for so long that was the mark of church health. And with that, there's been a lot of pros that have come out of that, but there also have been some cons. And one of the cons that has come out of it, I think, is that ministry has been limited to the people in the pulpit. And there is this overriding sense that if I need healing, I better get to someone who's got a big pulpit. And if I need worship, I better get to someone who's got a good praise and worship team. And if I need a good teaching and to really hear from the Lord, I better go into a service where a teacher has the ability to open up the Word of God. And it goes totally against what I see Paul writing in the epistles, that the whole goal of this is to equip you to do the work of the ministry, to get you to believe that when you lay hands on the sick, they recover, to get you to see that Paul is going to entrust this to Timothy. But Timothy, this is not just your job to get a whole bunch of people coming to your church. Timothy, it's your job to entrust this to faithful men so that they can entrust it to faithful men, so that they can entrust it to faithful men, and them using the God-ordained gifts that are in their life. Meaning, the overall basis for church health should not be how often we come to church. It should be how often we are the church. How often am I witnessing? How often am I praying? How often am I teaching? How often am I involved in what God has done? And so the Lord started dealing with me about my paradigm for church health, that the role of church health is to not have just another service to get people coming, and it's the same people who have come for the last 20 years on Wednesday nights. The goal of church health is to arm people with the confidence and the wisdom to go out there and be the gift that God has called them to be. And for some of them, that's a teaching gift. For some of them, that's a giving gift. For some of you, that's a serving gift. For some of you, that's a praying gift. For some of you, that's a worship gift. But it's our job to equip you with everything you need to develop your gift and to give you the determination and to give you the passion to go out there and use that gift for the kingdom of God. And so for me, the Lord dealt with me that there are some things that we're already doing as a ministry that in all actuality, if they're done right, can facilitate church health in such a way that is actually healthier than a midweek service. And so for me, he started leading me through these types of things and started showing me some of these types of things. And it really made me a firm believer in this. And so instead of, like it was at first, me taking this to God and saying, what do you think about this? And me having kind of a hesitancy in my heart, but kind of a passion in my flesh. Now it's the complete opposite. My flesh is like, what's everybody going to think when you tell them this? But my heart is like, tell them. Equip them with this. And so starting next year, this is what we're going to do. And I think that as we progress in this, one, I think as you hear what we're talking about, and as you read the letter that I feel like the Lord had me type up, when you get it in the mail, that you'll see that this makes complete sense. But I think as we begin to practice these things, you'll see that in your life and the lives of others, it actually leads to greater church health. So starting, this is not starting next Wednesday, by the way. This is starting in January. We will go to a first Wednesday only Wednesday night experience, meaning the first Wednesday of every month, we will have exactly what we're having tonight. The difference will be is I want it to be even deeper and I want it to be even greater. I want to turn this service into a time of divine impartation. I want to turn it into that room where we can have a smaller service, to have inspired utterance, to have people who, when they come to First Wednesday, know it's going to be worship, to know it's not just me coming to receive, but I'm coming to give worship. I'm coming to magnify the Lord and to create a room where the Holy Spirit can speak to us as a church family. And so with that, we really want to turn that first Wednesday service into that, and it will be the first Wednesday of every month. The first Wednesday of every month, we will have a midweek service that is designed to do exactly what we're doing tonight, to take people into a deep presence and into a deep call of God. I believe that it's times like these where your callings are made manifest before you. I believe it's times like this where the will of God can be plainly seen. And I want services where we have laying hands on the sick. I had a lady come up to me a couple of weeks ago. I want to get her own testimony. She may be here tonight. But she came up to me a couple of Wednesdays ago and said, I came down for prayer. And when I was prayed for, I had two lumps in my chest. And I went back to the doctor and they are gone. No trace of that mess anywhere in my body. Amen. I'm believing for more of those types of things and more of those types of miracles. And that's where on First Wednesday, we have the opportunity to really, really major on that. Now, once again, will people say you can't do that on the weekend? Well, yes, you can do it on the weekend. It's just done in a different way. Whereas, some people say, well, you know, in some churches, they have laying on a hand services and those types of things on the weekends. My response to that is we do it every single week over in Healing School in Life Room 1 at 8:30. So with that, while it's different, we're not trying to copy or mimic what other people may do, but we have that every single week, and we want Healing School to be even more effective than it is right now, and we need to promote that more. But with that, first Wednesday, we want that to be a time of just divine impartation and to make it just a service where we as a corporate body and a corporate family of believers press in to the Holy Spirit and press into worship and press into the things of God and see where the Lord wants to take those services. Then we also want to keep majoring in small groups. And the reason why I like small groups is it empowers you to use whatever gifting is on your life. There are many people in this room, not one or two, but many people in this room who have an incredible teaching gift, that you have the ability to take a book out there, to take a book of the Bible, or to even take some of my messages that I may preach on Sunday and get a group of people together and break it down in a simple way that all of them can understand and be a driver for people going into a deeper knowledge of the Word of God. We want to equip you. We want to empower you. We want to lay hands on you, and we want to enable you to help us pastor these people. There are others of you who you just have an unction to pray. And if we linked you up with a couple other people who may be new to the faith, in a matter of 3 months, you could take them deeper in prayer through that, then they could get 3 years sitting in a service because they have someone there teaching and praying there with them. We have some people here who you're fellowship-based, and it's just God's given you that unique personality. And when you get around people, you can connect with them. Man, we need that. We need that in this this ministry, because we've got a whole bunch of people here that one of the main hindrances to them walking with God is they don't have any Christian friends. And if they just had some Christian friends, it would be a huge game changer for their church. We want to take small groups, and we want to build them, expand them, and refine our leadership training, refine our work with those leaders, and to help all of those leaders make the most of their God-given gifts and make the most of the groups that are under their care. Then we also want to take and completely revitalize Saturday prayer. We're going to take Saturday prayer, which honestly now, if we get 40 people here, it's a minor miracle for Saturday prayer. And with that, we want to flip that on its head and make Saturday prayer the backbone of this ministry. And to just have a group of people here, it's not about fun and games, or it's not about having the cafe open, and it's not about the lights and those types of things. We come here to lift up our voice before God and to issue change in our community and in our nation. Now, with that, I'm going to champion Saturday prayer. I mean, I'm going to be thoroughly involved in it. And I personally will lead about 20 to 25 of those Saturday prayers. I'm going to use those times to do any deeper teaching that I might do on a Wednesday night, something like angels or something like that. I'll use that to teach. If you can't make it to Saturday prayer, then we'll release it on podcast and those types of things if it's more of a teaching type deal. But with that, we'll also have other people there and bring in people who will do little teachings. But the difference is right after it's taught, it'll go right back over into practicing the thing that was just taught. So we'll get the same type of teaching that we would get like on a Wednesday night. But then the difference is we'll find a way to immediately apply that teaching with lifting up our voice to God. We're going to call it 300. And people tell me there's a movie. I haven't seen the movie, those types of things. I don't know. The reason why I felt called to do it 300 was because of Gideon. Gideon had 300 men, and God constantly whittled down the masses to get to 300 men, because out of that 300 who were committed and passionate for a cause, they changed the whole course of a nation. And what we want is to make that experience more powerful, make it more fervent, and to come into a place where on Saturdays we have a group of people, no matter how big it is, but we have a group of people who are all there for the same purpose, and that's to lift up our voice before our amazing Father God. And so I'll be a driver with that. And someone said, well, doesn't that still sound like more work for you? And in many ways, it kind of is. But like I said, I won't have to do all of them. Then I won't have to teach as long, because we do want to apply it. But with that, the difference is we don't have to have the cafe open, childcare, all of these types of things. We can do that same type of deal with having a much less demand upon the volunteers and the staff as a whole. Does that make sense? And so also what we want to do is we want to take more missions trips. And so there's a whole bunch of stuff, and the letter will have all of these things in detail. But we have a whole bunch of stuff that we want to do in Poindexter and have more serve days and all of that. But I said all that to say, I honestly believe if you come to First Wednesday, if you got involved in a life group and you led one, especially some of you people who you know more word than people will hear over the next 20 years, that if you led a life group, if you got involved in Saturday prayer, or if you went and served, or if you went on a mission trip, you would see that in your life, it would actually equal more church health than anything these types of things are maybe giving you. And it would also free us up as a staff to make all of the other things we're doing even better than they currently are. And so with that, that's where we're at with this process. We're looking to start all of those things in January. Until then, we'll keep having Wednesday nights, so don't stop coming. Don't say, well, I'm off now. Glory to God. So with that, no. Come back. We'll be having church next Wednesday. But with that, in January, we'll make the changeover, and we'll start with a First Wednesday service to just start the new year off right. And then Saturday prayer will be changed over then. I'll start leading Saturday prayer during those times. And like I said, if I'm not leading it, I'll even at least be there, because I want to pray with you guys and pray over the services that are upcoming that weekend and all of those types of things. But I want to encourage you, as you leave, you're going to get cards. And I think they're going to pass them out, but if you guys, the ushers and all that, can prep to just give them as people are exiting, because it's 8 o'clock, so it's kind of time for, you know, you guys to go. Sorry, I said a couple of minutes. I took all their time. But with that, when you leave, we're going to have commitment cards. And I'm serious about this. I want, especially some of you who have really, really walked with the Lord, to really make a commitment in one of these areas, because we need you. As a church and as a pastor, I need you. And I need you to do more than just come and receive from us. There are people who need to receive from you. There are people who need you to break the bread that's in your hand and hand it to them. You remember the miracle of multiplication? It wasn't Jesus walking down the aisle and just breaking that bread. It was Jesus breaking it, handing it to his disciples handing it to a person, and then that person handing it to the person next to them, and handing it to the person next to them, and handing it person to the next to them. And that's the way we want this to work, is we equip you to do the breaking and the handing. And so, you know, like for example, right now in our life groups, 67% of our current life groups are led by people who have been in the church for less than 2 years. And that's a huge credit to our next class, which, by the way, if you've never been to Next, go to Next this weekend. That's a huge credit to our next class in that it trains people into the core values of our church. So when new people come in the church, you're like, well, that's what everybody does at Word of Life. They lead a life group. We trick them into that. And so they go in and they sign in, and it's like, sure, I'll be on the dream team. Sure, I'll lead a life group. I mean, after all, everybody at Word of Life does that. And so with that, 67% of our life groups are led by people who have been in the church for less than 2 years. And so with that, one of the things that I think would be incredibly healthy for all of us to do is lead a life group. I lead a life group on top of all the other things that we have going on in the church. I lead a life group on Friday mornings at 6:30. And so with that, I want to encourage some of you to look at, to see if you can do that too. I know others of you may have more of a prayer ministry and you just really love worship and prayer and hearing the word. Then I want you to commit to be one of those people who will come to Saturday prayer and make Saturday prayer. I want to take it out of the youth room. I want to move it back in here. I want a place filled with people lifting up their voices to God. And one of the reasons why we haven't, I think, seen that like we want to see it, is because I haven't been involved in it. And I want to champion that cause within the church. And so with that, like I said, I want to be thoroughly involved in that, because I believe that things change when a way is prepared with the words of our mouth. And so with that, I would love for all of you to look at that and to see if you can make a commitment to do either one of those things and to get back with us. And if you can, check it off and drop it in the offering buckets when you're left. I think that's why they wanted me to make this as short as possible, so that while we were worshiping, you could check one and drop it off in the offering box. But I went ahead and just messed everything up. So, but with that, I'm glad I explained it. But with that, if you can look at it and check it and drop it off tonight, fine. If not, bring it back this weekend, where we can know to contact you if you haven't gone through life group leadership training. But I'm excited about it. And honestly, and I told my wife tonight, or on the way to church, I said, I'm so relieved to just talk about this, because I've had it on my mind for so long. I've been very nervous about it, like very nervous about it. My flesh has been very nervous about it, because you never know what people will think when you make change. People just don't like change. Oftentimes people are like, well, I don't like that. Why is Pastor Joel doing that? You know, those types of things. And so you know some of that happens, not with you guys, not with you, but you know some people do those types of things, and you just wonder, what are they going to say in the car on the way home, and all of those types of things. And so thank you. But with that, I'm glad to be talking about these types of things, and I've talked about it with a whole bunch of other ministers. I've talked about it with some of the elders in the church, and every time I've talked about it, at the end of talking about it, people come back with me, well, that makes sense. That makes 100% sense, and we're behind it. We agree with it, those types of things. For our youth program, I know a lot of you have youth. We're going to keep our youth program strong. We're going to do youth on Wednesday nights. We also have youth every Saturday night. And then we're also going to add junior high youth on 11:30 every weekend. And so we're going to, you know, do youth throughout the weekend. When we build phase 2, we'll be able to do youth, junior high, and senior high during the Sunday services. So we'll have a youth service on the weekends. We're going to take a youth missions trip. We're going to keep all of our youth camps. And we're also going to look at expanding our youth small groups so we can go ahead and get that culture within the church, even starting at that age. So I think with all of those things, we've tried to cover all of our bases as much as we can to make sure we don't have any drop-off in ministry. But I honestly think that as we kick it into gear, we'll see all of our ministries be even more effective than they are right now because of a little tweak that enables us to produce more fruit with some of the things that we're doing. Does that make sense? Oh, I love you guys. Thank you, thank you, thank you for listening. And I tell you what, I'm so blessed. And the Lord has just been so faithful to me on a personal level. I look at my family, I look at my mom, I look at what's happened in their life. I look at my sister, what's happened in her life. I look at me and what's happened in mine. And every time we meet, I look at you guys, and it's just, the Lord has been so faithful. And you are my treasure. You are my reward. And I love you. I never want to do anything to hurt you. I want to help you. And I want to help you fulfill what God has called you to do. Amen. And I'm blessed to be able to have seen things happen at a younger age, because there's a lot of people that I've seen in ministry who are chasing something because they think it's something that they'll feel a certain way if they can obtain it. And for me, I'm so thankful for this, because I see at the end of the day, it's not about anything material. It's not about anything natural. It's about people. And it's about winning people to the Lord Jesus. And to have all of you guys helping us do that is just amazing. I love you, and I thank God for you. Let's pray. Father, we come before you. I thank you for these people. I thank you, Lord, for your hand upon their life. And I just ask you, Lord, to equip them for the work of the ministry. At the end of the day, Lord, all of our lives have some type of eternal purpose connected to it. And I ask you, Lord, to put your hand upon these people, to put your hand upon us, to put your hand upon this church, and to enable us to help others and to win a world for you. We love you, Lord. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. If you need prayer for anything tonight, we're going to have prayer room workers standing here at the altar, ready and willing to pray with you and for you for whatever you may need. If you're a guest, we got a free T-shirt for you. It's found out in the foyer at the Welcome Center there. This is a big octagon-shaped thing. Make sure you get your free T-shirt. Thank you for worshiping here with us tonight. We love you abundantly, and we just thank you for all you've done. I guess you can stand to your feet and be dismissed. And we'll see you guys this weekend.